May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We are in Acts. If you ever wonder why our first reading in Easter is in Acts, it's a really good question. I don't know the official reason, but one of the reasons I was taught and that I'm going to now teach you is because that first reading, we use that as an opportunity to tell the story of the people of God. Usually that happens in the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, right? Genesis on through the Exodus and all of this, the prophets, all of that. Well, the continuing story of the people of God, how they organize themselves as a community of believers, how the church continues, that's told in Acts. And so we take these weeks during Eastertide, and we use that as the story of the people of God that we're telling. It also works out because 16 weeks, did you say today? We've been spending 16 weeks in the book of Acts in our adult Bible study. It's not just adults. In our Bible study across the way between the services. And today we finished with chapter 6. So we're moving very slowly. We're taking our time. But today our reading is Acts chapter 8. So it's perfect time, right? Like when you come next week, you'll actually be a week ahead of the game. Because I'm going to spoil some things. We'll see in a couple weeks when Gavin gets there. But to sum up what we've talked about in Acts, right? Acts starts off, Pentecost, right? And so we get this wonderful thing at the beginning of Acts, Acts 1, verse 8. It sets the mission for the whole book of Acts. It sets the mission for the whole church, right? And it says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." It sounds beautiful, right? You're going to start here. What starts here changes the world. I stole that from the University of Texas, I believe. If you watch college football, that's their big tagline. But I'm going to say it's not UT. It's the church. What starts here changes the world. Sounds beautiful. And I'm sure the disciples heard this, and they're like, yeah, this is great. We're going to start here. Then we're going to go on vacation. I'm going to go to Greece. You're going to go to this place. We're going to go to these nice places. And it's going to be great. Well, they start and they spend a while in Jerusalem. Some things start to happen. They heal some people. They maybe get arrested, right? They start to develop an organization. The disciples, the apostles realize, hey, we're too busy. So they have to find and ordain some deacons, right? So they ordain 7 of those deacons because they're out there, they're healing and teaching and doing all this. So they need folks to help take care of the community. So they have these deacons. All this happens when they're in Jerusalem. And then one of these deacons stands up, Stephen. He makes a speech. He gets himself killed. That's when things really start to go south. It had just been imprisonment and some torture thrown in. But with Stephen, now they're getting killed. And so immediately before what we're talking about today, in Acts chapter 8, after Stephen is killed, then the persecution starts to begin. And so back in Acts 8, verse 1, that kicks off and sets us up for what we're talking about today, we learn how the good news of Jesus Christ is going to go to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's not on fancy vacations. It's not even of the disciples' own willingness. It's because they're running away for fear of their life. The beginning of Acts 8 says, the apostles stayed behind, everyone else fled. So they go everywhere. And so we pick up today with another of these deacons, Philip. And it says the way he went, the way he fled, was a wilderness road through an area of the world on the border between Jerusalem and Gaza. You can turn on the headlines today and you have a pretty good understanding of what it was like back then, too. That wilderness road is an unsafe place. And so Philip ends up there today not because he wanted to, not because he thought, oh, that's going to be a great place to go because I just am raring to. No, he's fleeing for his life. And for him, the alternative is to go between Jerusalem and Gaza. So that gets us to where we are today. It did not take 16 weeks to get there. Come on, he's going too slow over there. That sets us up. But here we have Philip, this deacon, this servant. He's going down this dangerous road, and he comes to a chariot. And in that chariot is the Ethiopian eunuch. We know what an Ethiopian is. If you don't know what a eunuch is, that's someone who's been castrated. If you don't know what castration is, talk to Gavin. So he confronts this person, and he walks up to him, and he notices this eunuch's reading from the scriptures. He's reading a scroll, and they have this conversation. He's like, this is weird. You're out here in this dangerous place. I'm out here in this dangerous place, and you're just chilling by the roadside, and you're reading from this scroll. And they have this conversation. What are you reading? And he reads from Isaiah 53. He reads this bit. It says, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, he goes on. And the Ethiopian eunuch says to Philip, I'm drawn to this. I don't know what it is. We get some backstory here about the Ethiopian, right? He had gone to Jerusalem to try to worship. But here's the deal. Part because he's an Ethiopian, but also because he's a eunuch, he would not have been allowed anywhere near the temple. He would not have been allowed to participate in Jewish worship. He would not have been allowed any of that. But he was so drawn to the story of God. He was so drawn to something. He was drawn to this scripture. And so he sees this guy and he's like, can you tell me what this is about? Who is this prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself? Is he talking about someone else? This person that's rejected? This person that's in danger, this person that's despised. Maybe the eunuch's asking Philip, is the prophet talking about me? Because while the Ethiopian eunuch had power in one sphere of his world, he was rejected, despised, and outcast in others just because of who he was. So they have this conversation. Is Philip like, this is your lucky day? I am eminently qualified to talk to you about this, and so we're going to start here. We're going to start in Isaiah 53, and I'm going to tell you the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what stuck with me this week as I was reading this. Because if I think about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with someone, I'm going to turn to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and I'm going to be like, so here was this guy. He did these things, all of that. Philip. Number one, he doesn't have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John yet. Those people are still running for their lives. They haven't had time to write the books yet. But he takes the book that they have. He takes Isaiah, and he's like, you're starting in Isaiah 53. Great. You read that about the suffering servant. He probably says, let me tell you about this guy I know. But starting in Isaiah 53, maybe Philip said, turn the page. Well, it wasn't a book, so it wasn't a page. Maybe he said, like, roll the scroll. Look at Isaiah 54. The prophet says, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Do not be discouraged, for you will not suffer disgrace. You, eunuch, who is afraid, who's been disgraced, do not fear. This prophet is talking about something that's good news for you. Maybe the prophet starts to see himself in that. Philip says, it's just getting started. Turn the page again. Isaiah 54 continues, for the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you. Everything else may fade away, the prophet says, but God's love will never fade away. Philip says to the eunuch, he's talking about you. He's talking about me. But again, that's just the beginning. Turn the page again. Isaiah 55, Philip maybe says to him, for you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Philip says to this eunuch, all of creation, not just the Jews, not just God's people, all of creation will rejoice. That includes you. That includes me. But again, Philip maybe says, that's just the beginning. It's really starting to get good now, eunuch. Turn the page one more time. And maybe they come to Isaiah 56. And this Ethiopian reads this passage. Do not let the foreigner be that joined to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me and hold fast for my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than son and daughter. To the eunuch I will give an everlasting name. The Ethiopian sees it then. He's talking about him. I also think maybe Philip sees it then too. Maybe for the first time Philip realizes what Jesus told us about this not being just for us, about this being for Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That's true right now here in this chariot. So the Ethiopian eunuch has his eyes open, and God's love is for him. And maybe Philip also realizes if God's love is for him, God's love is for me too. Don't miss this. This Ethiopian eunuch is the first non-Jew to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, follow him as Lord, and get baptized. This Ethiopian eunuch, this black man from Africa, the sexual minority, the first to believe the good news. So the Ethiopian eunuch goes on, goes out. He's like teleported away. That's another weird thing. Gavin will talk about that in a couple weeks in Bible study. He goes on. And tradition has that he helps set up and continues the good news in his own place. And Philip goes on and continues preaching. And I can only imagine Philip going back and talking to the disciples. Like, you won't believe this encounter I just had. I met this man who was outsider of outsiders, outcast of outcasts, and we read the scriptures together, and together our eyes were open, and we realized that God's love is bigger than anything we could ever imagine. One of the people he tells that to is maybe John. And then a little bit later in his life, when John is writing a letter that we read from a little bit today, he says it as plainly as anyone can say it. God is love. God is love for the outsider and the insider, for the eunuch and for Philip. God is love for me and for you. Amen.